Pop the Kettle On with Nicole Essio and Dr. Rachel Bushing.
Hi, I'm Rach.
And I'm Nicole, and welcome to Pop the Kettle On,
the parenting, womanhood, marriage, baby and life review podcast, where we dissect the good, the bad and the ugly of family life. And we have a good old laugh about how it's depicted in popular culture.
Because it's always tea time.
And if I don't laugh, I'll cry.
Me too. Hey, Rach.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm well. I was just going to disclose that it's not tea time for you today.
It's not. I'm having a glass of water.
Naughty.
But I did have a McVitie's, and that was delicious. Thank you very much.
Yes.
How you doing?
I'm well.
I must point out that we are in the new Little Shop of Pop. We are in the new Pop Psychology offices, and I love them. Every time I come here, it makes me happy.
Thank you so much, honey.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. We're settling in. We're getting there. It's, yeah. You know, I saw clients at the old place 1 week and then magically here the next week, and they were like, how did that happen? Especially the kids. Like, what?
On holidays. Kids on holidays and moving offices.
This See? Is true. And it was actually quite good being on holidays because I had my little helpers milling around carrying things for me.
Oh, that's always good.
Yeah. How have your holidays been?
Good. Busy. Mm-hmm. Really busy. Yeah. But nice.
Yeah.
It's just nice to spend some time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, you know, movies and bits and pieces like that. So, yeah, mm-hmm. It was a good time.
Fabulous.
Yeah, but I think they're looking forward to going back. They are.
Yeah, I think so too.
And what about you? Well, I mean, last fortnight, talked about Christopher Robin and play. Have you
we
played?
Did. Yes.
Have you played?
Well, I suppose school holidays offers lots of time to do that, supposedly. Did you catch the picture of my lounge room yesterday that I posted?
I loved it.
Up on the Facebook page?
Yeah, rainy day's perfection right
Rainy
there.
Day fun, just basically cannot walk through the lounge room because there's absolutely toys absolutely everywhere.
Yeah, but if it's not the little bits of Lego that can get stuck under your foot, then mm-hmm. you're okay.
Then you're okay, yes. I know. I love it when the children create the chaos and then you hear like, boom. Oh! And you're just thinking, you've stepped on something that you just left lying around.
Exactly.
Can this be a teachable moment?
Yeah, you have to use those as teachable moments. I think that's a wise idea. But you also, I think, when it comes to play, you got to get out in the world. I mean, when it's not raining, obviously. What did you do to get out in the world?
Well, actually, we had a go at that.
Nice.
We did. Yes.
Tell me.
Yes. I've been waiting to tell you this story.
Go on.
Well, it was a lovely day. We decided, let's go out and get in nature, go visit the 100-acre wood of our dreams. So we did that.
Where?
Well, we're based in Brisbane.
Yep.
Obs.
We are.
I think we only have Brisbane-based listeners at this
I'm
point.
I'm sure there are some beautiful cousins that are in the UK that have heard us.
International. It's happening. So anyway, we are based in Brisbane, so which is blessed, I think most capital cities are really, with beautiful hinterland. But so we went, you know, down south back to near our old stomping grounds, although not really. But we are both from the Gold Coast.
Exactly.
We are. We went up Mount Tambourine.
I love Mount Tambourine.
It's beautiful. It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
So the whole family went, this beautiful outdoor day, having fun, getting in nature, being Christopher Robin, mindful, walking, fun, excellent.
Why yep. am I waiting for something to happen?
No, end of the story. That's the end of the story. Oh, dear. Well, it's good fun. It's all fun and games until somebody gets a tick. Yes, a little... you know, alien invader decided to play host on my person.
On your person.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. Better me than the children, though. Can you imagine?
This is true. So what do you do with a tick?
Good question. Panic.
Uh-huh. Sorry. I have a tick story, but I don't want to jump on your tick story.
You have a tick story?
I have a tick story.
Is it? I'm sure it's better than my tick story. My tick story is not that interesting, really. I went to the forest and I got a tick. And my husband found some tweezers eventually after panicking and realising we're so city-bound and not good at handling those sorts of things.
Mm. Mm. You may have an interloper, in case anyone didn't notice.
You may hear the echo of a little six-year-old. We have my beautiful six-year-old daughter here today, sitting and having a cup of tea.
Yeah.
Very much enjoying the tick story.
Yeah.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Daddy saved the day.
Daddy saved the day. Well done, Daddy.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, it was right behind my ear. Daddy saved the day.
Well done, Ben. Legendary. See, not all heroes wear capes.
I know. Yeah. Oh, my beautiful man. Saved the day.
Well, in my tick story, same deal.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful man, saved the day.
Oh, your beautiful fella?
Yes.
Yes.
But that, I mean, my tick story basically is the last time I went out in nature.
The last time? Never again?
Pretty much. I'm just thinking, well, I'm not a nature girl, but that was like, we were in Mackay with the big, so we have batches of kids, if anyone doesn't know this. I have four kids, 18, 16, and then 8 and 6, and so we say the bigs and the smalls. Mm-hmm. So this was before the smalls even existed. And we went up to Mackay. We were in this beautiful Yungella, I think it's pronounced.
I'm sorry, how long ago was this and you've never been in nature again?
11.
Carry on.
10, 11 years.
Are you serious?
Yeah, serious.
This is that bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Well, no, it's not my thing.
Okay.
But this kind of really cemented that for me. We went into Yungella National Park, went for a lovely walk, mm-hmm. and came home with a tick.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yes.
In a place.
In a place.
I was wearing a shirt.
In a place.
And a pair of pants. Mm-hmm. But obviously I didn't tuck the shirt in because the tick was in a place that it just shouldn't have been. Yeah.
Is this an unmentionable place?
This is an unmentionable place.
Oh, my sweet Lord.
Oh, yeah.
Are you hearing this?
Yeah.
It was finding a warm place.
It was finding a warm place. So, yeah, that's my tick story. Yeah. It was not pleasant.
It was obviously very hospitable.
Welcoming.
Oh, honey, she had a tick down her pants.
In my pants.
That's mm-hmm. not funny,
not
is it?
Not ants in my pants.
Oh.
It was bad.
My goodness.
Yeah. Obviously, it made me decide not to go in nature again.
So what? I'm hoping this is some kind of medical extraction procedure thing.
Paul sorted it. There was that special Aeroguard rid stuff that you've got all the really bad deep chemicals.
But what is that like down in your sensitive regions?
I'm to have two other kids, so I'm sure it's fine.
Yes, you've been absolutely fine. I love the way Paul steps in. I know this region. I know the terrain.
It's familiar terrain. We're all good.
I have signposts. This forest is my area. Sorry. Rate it in. Husband may listen at some point.
Possibly. Oh my goodness. So, yes, mm-hmm. we played in nature
well
about
done.
11 or so years ago.
Oh, my
But
goodness.
You did it recently.
Well,
and
hey, you know, you just got to find your own way to play. You've got to find whatever.
Also, this fortnight, we're going to talk about Brené Brown.
Mm.
Can we firstly talk about how much we love Brené Brown?
Oh, my goodness. When was your first intro, Brené Brown? Because I still say to people, well, of course you know Brené Brown. And I get the blank stares and I'm like, you do not know Brené. And I just look at them like, your life is about to change. You will be joining the cult. It's going to happen. Because if you watch her, you know, have you seen her TED Talk?
Yeah.
That was like my little intro. And I'm like, you can't sit and watch that and not be obsessed with her.
Yeah, exactly.
I believe.
Well, I feel like it was something to do with Oprah. maybe, and not just, like, she intro'd me to the TED Talk. I'm not sure.
Right, yeah, yeah.
I have vague memories of Oprah talking to Brené Brown.
Have you ever listened to Oprah's Super Soul Conversations?
I've heard a couple because you recommended them.
Yeah. Ooh. I went back and sort of, like, listened to a whole bunch, and then I think I hit, like, my Oprah peak.
There's only so much that you can take, really.
There's only so much Oprah. I thought I had an endless kind of Oprah, you know, vessel in which to fill, but no, I got a little bit kind of like...
Well, because we used to get her once a day, then if you podcast and you listen in a binge kind of podcasty way...
Yeah.
Then that could be a bit overwhelming.
Speaking of which, because I was so gutted that when I became a parent, Oprah was no longer on TV. I was like, I'm on maternity leave. I'm sitting here. It's, what was it, 2 o'clock in the afternoon or something? I'm like, where is my Oprah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rude.
I think I missed it by 2-3 years.
Oh, gutting. No, I think, was she, what happened with like that Maury guy who was always, you are not the father. Anyway.
Maury?
Terrible. Yeah, you are not the father. They did all these, sidetrack. They did all these parent testing. What do you call it? DNA test to see who was the father of this person's child. It was so trashy. It was so terrible. So you went from like Oprah and learning things and feeling empowered and lovely and to this horrible trash. So yeah. Replaced by that.
Oh, what's it called?
Jerry
Springer.
It was that. Yeah, with fewer fights, really.
Australian version?
No, American.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Ah, right.
Let's talk about Brené. She's much
Let's
better.
Let's talk about Brené.
So you gave me homework. I love when you give me homework. Daring Greatly is her book that we were talking about.
Yes.
It's one of many, yeah?
Yeah, I think she's written a few. I have read none of them. Owner of few, reader of none. This is why I must give us homework.
Excellent.
Mm.
Okay. Did you read it this time?
No.
Oh, no, I had your book.
Yes.
I read it.
Yes. So, but she had released, and we posted it on our Facebook page as well, homework for listeners.
Yes.
So she's released, I think, a couple of chapters from that book, but this one is, or maybe it's one from this book, one from another, that kind of thing. So it was chapter 7. Wholehearted parenting. And you know, so what I found weird is that I didn't read the entirety of the book, but I have her vibe in the sense that, you know, she's a social worker, I believe. Yeah.
Yes.
And then social researcher these days, and reports a lot on vulnerability and shame and emotions, resilience, that kind of stuff. So, you know, from what I understand, Daring Greatly is about moving into the areas in which you feel most vulnerable, most triggered, most difficult, because that's about finding the truer part of yourself. Am I right? Not read the whole book, like I said.
Well, I heard her talking about rumbling with the vulnerability. You've got to get in, you've got to rumble. So you've got to kind of get in there and...
Yeah, get dirty.
Get dirty.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
So what did you get out of this chapter?
Oh, so I just listened to the audiobook of this chapter.
Yeah.
And oh my goodness. You know, it brought me to tears.
Yeah.
Yeah, listen, talk about it on the podcast. And about 3 times I was just like so struck. I think it was mostly just her talking through little experiences that she has with her children.
She's brutally honest about her own shit, basically. Oh,
very much so. And I think that's the whole thing, is that it's not showcasing these amazing moments. Although, you know, when she kind of told, you know, stories about her children going through real emotional blows, I suppose, and you know how it's difficult because your head kind of like triggers off, like, no, shut it down, take away the pain, or you know, tell them they're wrong, criticize, you know, problem solve, whatever. And again, you know, put your boots on, step into the mud with them, get filthy, and you know how you kind of coach them through that experience. Oh, it's just gorgeous. Speaking of which, have you seen the little animation on YouTube about empathy?
No.
Oh, I have to post it. More homework.
Oh, good. Post that for me.
I'm done then with my Brené fandom for now. Although I saw the other day she's written a new book. It's about to be released, and it's about leadership.
Oh.
And about being a boss.
Yes, because I saw something on LinkedIn, actually, and I've saved it on my phone so I could read it later.
Yeah.
But she talks a lot in this wholehearted parenting stuff about good enough being good enough, yeah?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, yeah.
Because
I think just that whole idea that, you know, we're all mucking through together, and that I think she starts the chapter by saying something kind of a bit terrifying, like, you know, the best predictor of how your children are going to turn out as human beings, as adults, is how you are.
Uh-oh.
Like, okay. And yeah. How scary that is, because yeah, yeah, that is the reality of it. You can't teach or show what you can't be. It's really difficult to do that.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, she talks really beautifully about the fact that we're all like that. We're all imperfect.
Yeah.
We're all just kind of trying to come up with stuff, trying to, you know, muddy our way through, you yeah know, not really knowing. And that, you know, she kind of talks about, I don't think she says this quote exactly, but it's somebody else's quote, that when a child is born, the parent is born.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I feel that so much.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, biggest was born when I was 22. And mm-hmm so, you know, I really didn't feel like a whole person myself, I think. I think that probably affected the way that I parented, because I wasn't fully myself yet. I wasn't a fully formed human. And I said, it's funny, I said at her 18th birthday, thank you for teaching us how to be parents, because, mm-hmm, you know, we all muddled through together. You
yeah
don't know
yeah
until you kind of give it a crack.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, it's that's a really interesting one, and how you, if you, the way that you behave and the way that you demonstrate your moving through life, mm-hmm, is a better, is what the kids actually soak up rather than your words.
Do you think that's a factor of age, though, being 22, that you feel kind of flung into this parenthood game and not feel up to the task and not feel big enough, strong enough, you know, like you know it all? Because I think that's how I felt as well, you know, at 31.
Yeah.
And we'd been trying to have the children for a few years as well. Yeah. You know, it was very much thought out, planned, you know, all the stuff. I don't know. I mean, see, this is the thing. I hear you talk about saying I feel like I struggled or I didn't do well at some things with my first, and my reaction is like, no, Nicole, I'm sure you were fine, you were good, she's beautiful, look at her now.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that's part of it. Like, we all just muddle through. Mm-hmm. There is not, they don't come with a book, they don't mm-hmm come with a manual, and they're all different. Like, all four of my kids are completely different human beings, mm-hmm, and it's just amazing how one mm thing that you sort of do with one around motivating them
mm-hmm, mm-hmm
just absolutely demotivates another one, yeah, you know?
Yeah.
And she talks, it's funny, she talks about, what is it, greeting kids like you're delighted to see them.
Yeah.
Mm. And that one made me quite upset, because I know, particularly with big number two, I don't know why that is, I used to greet him with, oh, have you done this? Have you done that? You know, how's your mm-hmm homework? Blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than, hey, mm-hmm you with mm-hmm that gorgeous face that I made, mm-hmm I love you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
How you doing?
Yeah.
You know what
yeah
I mean?
I have a little list, so I wrote that down too.
Rach has notes.
I do. I have notes. Because once I was just listening, and then when she started making me cry, I was like, I'm writing that down. That's amazing.
Yeah, I wrote a couple of bits.
Yeah, yeah. Because I wrote down this quote, and she's quoting somebody else here.
Right.
It's someone called Toni Morrison, I think she said.
She's an Oprah queen, Toni Morrison. She's a writer.
Yes, an yeah author. And again, I don't know the context in this quote, but I wrote it down, and it is, let your face speak what's in your heart.
Mm.
You know, I think she's like, most of us think, oh, of course I love my kids. Of course I think all the good things. Of course, you know, when I think about them, I have loving feelings, I have loving thoughts. You know, I'm very guilty of this when it comes to my dear husband as well.
Yeah.
Doing like the whole, like, comes in the door, hello.
Yeah.
Dinner's on the table, unload the dishwasher, do this, yeah, that, the other. And, you know, it's good that we have a routine around kind of like, come over, have a kiss, you know, yeah, greeting when they come home and when they say goodbye. But it's so easy to kind of go through the motion of that kind of stuff as well, like hello, yeah, kiss, you know.
Yeah.
So that whole idea of, you know, having that really connected moment with that person to show the love,
yeah,
and make it super overt,
yeah,
and that we can't just assume our children know how special they are to us.
Oh my goodness, yeah. I think if they could feel,
mm-hmm,
what we feel,
mm-hmm,
that we might explode. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, when they're being good, of course. Yeah. When they're not, it's a different story.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know,
yeah,
my mum always used to say, you know, oh, I would die for you, I would kill for you. And I used to think, that is so melodramatic. Like, seriously? Seriously? You'd die for me or you'd kill for me? Come on. That's too much.
And I imagine as like a 5-year-old, you're just like, sorry, are we going to war? Who's coming to kill you?
Pretty much. But
yeah,
honestly,
I mean,
you get
I
to that
get
point
it
in parenting,
yeah,
where you go, yep, totally understand it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm. I know, it's sad because you try and do so much of the right stuff. It's like,
yeah,
well, I say those words all the time.
Yeah.
And I think she's kind of saying, well, yes, but the words aren't enough.
Yeah.
If they don't get the feeling.
Yeah.
Which all comes with slow down, settle down,
yep,
calm, connect, you know,
yep,
spend time to be in love,
yeah,
with the people that you're in love with.
Yep.
I mean, why is that such a hard thing to do?
That's true. Because there's so much.
Mm-hmm.
That's why.
Yes. And also, you know, when there's multiple children involved as, yeah, well, you're like, it feels like a production line of love sometimes. Like, sorry, your shift doesn't start until later.
But good enough is good enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think we also put a lot of pressure on ourselves to be like the best parent ever.
Yeah. I really liked how she spoke a lot about that, like,
yeah,
the mummy wars kind of thing.
Oh, she did a judgment thing that made me, mm-hmm, I wrote it down. You don't judge others when you feel good about yourself.
Yeah.
I think, and I thought that was brilliant because, mm-hmm, when I was back at the place that I used to live and there was some judgment going on with other mums and things like that, yeah, mm-hmm, I was not feeling great about me,
mm-hmm,
and so I would join in on those kind of judgment sessions, mm-hmm, and I think it speaks a lot about how you feel about yourself if you're,
mm-hmm,
perpetuating those kind of discussions.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Instead of just being supportive, because we're all just muddling through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, the way that so much of it is just trifling, the things that, you know, we will look at parents and kind of be, well, that's not right. I wouldn't do that, you know.
Why hasn't that child got a jumper?
Oh, yes, my children, constantly.
My children too.
All of the time.
They're never cold, as cold as I am, ever. So weird. But yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, like, yeah, just that whole concept of good enough, is something I pretty much regularly say to every parent who comes in the door that I see.
Yeah.
You know, and when you're working with their child, it's really important to kind of connect and have buy-in with the parents as well.
Of course.
It's so, you know, like, it's really weird. When I was a young psychologist and I worked a lot with kids, you know, it's like being a young teacher. It's like,
yeah,
well, I can do this job because I know the factual things that I need to do.
Yeah.
And I used to, you know, there'd be a bit of flack from parents, like not wanting to see some young upstart who was,
yeah,
kind of like, don't tell me how to parent properly if you've not walked a mile in my shoes.
Yep.
And of course, when I was 22, I was a young officious psychologist who didn't want to be told I don't know the things. But,
yeah,
you know, I think that it's shifted how I am as a psychologist being a parent.
Yeah.
And I hate to admit that in a way. But there's some level of knowingness and shared experience where I now know wholeheartedly that any parent who comes in this door is feeling shit about themselves.
Yep.
In such a real way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yep.
And, you know, intellectually, you're kind of like, I know I'm not a bad parent, but yet I'm walking into a psychologist's office. And, you know, so, yep, often it's like, well, of course it's not something you're doing, you know.
Yeah.
And in fact, with most parents, the answer is go easier on yourself.
Yes.
have your support people around you who love you and lift you up and help you, you know, who are going to wade through this chaos with you. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, actually, if you just kind of felt better about yourself, then most likely that works better for the kids.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure. I call it, when you talk about support like that, I've got in my phone, a 10-foot tall and bulletproof list. People who make me feel 10-foot tall and bulletproof.
Aww.
So if I ever feel like I'm not,
yes,
which is frequently, but like really not,
yeah,
you just go to the list and go, okay, well, I know that if I talk to this person, they'd tell me that I was 10-foot tall and bulletproof. And if I talk to that person, they're my mum and they'd say the same thing. But you know what I mean?
Yes.
People who just will pump your tires up.
I love that.
Yeah.
And so you literally carry that around with you all the time.
Yep. Literally carry it around with me all the time. And also, I think having batches of kids and having had the experience at 22, 25 and then having gotten, you know, a degree and feeling a little bit more, this sounds terrible, but valid as a human being,
right,
that I'd gotten this education now that, you know, matched, I suppose, even like Paul's, because Paul had had, you know, a uni degree. And then starting a career as a teacher and that kind of thing and feeling like a whole more rounded human being. Between doing that and then having the second batch, I think my confidence as a human really, really grew. But also my expectations as a parent just dropped.
Right.
I just went, I don't need to do all of the things all of the time. Good enough is good enough, you know?
Yeah.
They're fed and they're reasonably happy. Seriously.
And every now and then they're even amazing and upstanding.
Of course.
Quite frequently as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, and so are we. Mentioned. Frequently. but, you know, like a friend of ours was having, you know, from the library gang of ours, was having a conversation with me many years ago when number two was tiny and was talking about, you know, oh, I've got to get home from work and then I've got to get the food thing and then I've got to cook the food thing and then I've got to feed them and then I've got to bath them. And and I went, I know it's exhausting, but you can totally just ditch that bath, first of all. They're not that dirty. You don't bath your kids every day? No, no, definitely not. When they start to smell, no. But seriously... But don't, you know, just drop your expectations. If they're going to a fancy occasion, then sure, make sure they don't have holes in their pants. But otherwise, if they're spending time, like we've got a park at the top of our street and it's a very big hill. It's just grass. And we noticed that people had like cardboard boxes and were tobogganing down this grass, right? And so one of our friends had a birthday party up there and I'm like, you need to bring cardboard boxes. I want to try this. And by the end of it, small number two ended up with holes all over his pants and his last run actually ripped a massive hole in his bot and had to walk home holding his pants together so we couldn't see his red undies. But, you know...
That's childhood, right?
That's
there.
Playing. That's playing. He wasn't going to a wedding.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
If he's going to a wedding, I'll make sure he doesn't have his dacks hanging out.
You know, it's so just... Our parents did not have the same level of pressure that they would put on themselves, you know?
Yeah.
We're much more, like, we went on a very long car journey over the school holidays, just me and the three kids.
Wow.
4.5 hours.
Wow.
Yeah, not the most fun.
Wow.
Yep.
That's a lot.
Yep. Not always that much fun. And I said to my mum, I'm like, oh. So now I've got the three in the back seat.
Of course.
And so when my little guy, who's now three, was kind of three across, but he was teensy-tiny and little boo-boo-boo-boo, they were like, there's my teensy-tiny boo-boo-boo brother in the middle between the two, you know, what, they were three when he was a baby.
And they might hold his hand or like stroke his face.
Yeah, and he'd cry, but they could kind of tune that out.
Yep.
So, of course, now he's three. They're six.
Yep.
And it's just World War III.
Yeah.
And it's like, he's looking at me. He stole my thing. He did this. All of the stuff. All of the time.
Yeah.
Sorry?
Oh, sorry.
My twins are 6 3/4.
Thank you for the clarification.
Corrected the line judge.
Yep. Fact check from our assistant.
And in fact, the little guy turned 3.5 just... last week.
Well done. You're doing it. You're totally doing
I'm on it. I know the age of my children.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I said to my mum, I'm like, okay, what do I do with the car journey thing? Because you had three. And you know what she said
how
to me?
How do we do this?
Maybe I'm thinking, so maybe I shouldn't reveal to this, but she said something to the effect of, you girls just climbed around in the car. Climbed into the boot. Lay down in the boot.
Yes.
It was fine. Sorry, Mum. I'm pretty sure the statute of limitations has passed. They can't come for you.
But also, it probably wasn't illegal at that point.
Probably not.
Maybe.
Yeah. I remember actually going on these long car journeys with, like, my cousins, mm-hmm. and there'd be, like, you know, more people in the car than there were seats.
Of course.
And two or three of us would be, like, in the back of the station wagon, like, lying down, having a nap, having a great time.
We had a panel van for, like, Dad was a butcher and he did deliveries with his van.
Yeah.
And so we would just have the mattress out on the back and my sister and I would just hang out in the back of the panel van.
Yeah.
Because there was only the two seats at the front, really, you know, and they couldn't swish in.
Yeah.
But Mum tells stories about breastfeeding as they were driving from one place to another.
Right,
you know, the kids were in a bassinet between the front seats. They weren't strapped into anything.
So
things have changed.
Yeah.
But I would be interested. That's a really interesting thing, though, that you said. There wasn't the pressure.
Yeah.
And I would really love to know, we'll have to ask our mums maybe, whether they felt the way that we do about the pressure of parenting and whether they had mummy judgment stuff going on or,
I don't know. I think, you know, I think social media and all that kind of stuff kind of cops a fair flack for that,
idea
of, like, the comparison and the, you know, photoshopping your life and all that. But I think, now there's this whole other thing. But it's like this idea that, like, anyone can be an expert these days as well.
That's
you know?
So true.
So rather than kind of trusted experts who say, this is a good idea, this is what you should do.
It's with, like, evidence.
Oh, yeah. Everybody can have a blog and everybody can say, well, this is the type of thing that I do. And so therefore those other people on that other side of the fence doing that other thing is clearly not right.
Yeah,
you
it's
know?
So
and, wrong. And Brené talks about that whole idea of, like, you know, well, who's to say they're, you know if you're sitting there kind of saying, I've got the brand, I've got it right, you know, it's, you can kind of see that that's a real projection of kind of, like, their own vulnerability of worrying, maybe I'm not doing certain things right, so I've got to put up this big shield that's like, you know, no one can touch me if I'm just kind of like, I've found the answer.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, how depressing to have found the answer when your child's two.
It's all right, the question changes.
Oh, but clearly. And maybe it's kind of like, well, I've got an answer for that too.
Maybe.
It's very, you know, which isn't real life, you know.
No, we muddle.
If it's unexamined, then it's probably not hitting upon the right answer.
Yeah, exactly.
If it's just a knee-jerk thing. So I suppose that's the rumble.
There's the rumble.
You've got to be like, is this right? Is it not? I don't know if it's struggling. You know, if you sit there worrying and reckoning with this idea, have I got this right?
Yep.
You're probably doing it right.
Yeah.
It just doesn't feel right.
But that's where the support network comes in when you go, okay, am I crazy? Or, that's one beautiful thing that our gang does really well. And that's just, you know, no, it's great. It's fine.
It's fine.
It's fine. It's good.
Yeah.
It's good enough.
Yeah. It's good enough.
Now, I have to mention, I'm hearing music. I don't
know if
this
background.
Is being recorded through the mics, but just to mention it, in case you're wondering whether you're going crazy listening to this, there is actually music in the background. The little poppy shop is above a church, and so there is some gorgeous choir music going on, and it's amazing, but we might have to record them separately one time. With permission, of course.
Is this like at the Oscars when you start to get the wind-up music?
Actually, you know what? We're over half an hour. We probably are getting the wind-up music. So are there any other notes on Brené Brown? Oh, golly. That was the other thing about fitting in versus belonging.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
That got me in the feels.
Yes, yes, yes.
Big
yes.
time.
That was my tears when her daughter talks about being the other.
Oh, straight through the heart. Yeah. That gutted me.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I remembered, you know, moving from another city and coming to a new school in grade four and feeling like before I belonged in that old school, you know, and I came to Queensland and did not at all. And I just tried to fit in.
Yeah.
And
there
is a real different feeling between that and belonging, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But she talks about belonging in your family, even if you don't belong other places.
Yeah.
To be able to belong in your family.
Which
I think is really lovely.
Yeah.
I hope that my kids feel that they belong in the family. You just don't know though, do you? I probably could ask them. Do you feel like you belong? There you go. That's today's homework.
Then you get the child of psychologist answer, but they look at you like, why are you asking this overly technical question?
And also, how does it make me feel? I don't know.
Yeah, well, I think it's more, though, you know, that each family has its own, like, little micro culture, you know? And that, you know, I suppose you see families where it's like the culture is dictated by the parents or one parent, you know, who's like, well, that's just their dominant, you know, worldviews, way of doing things, way of disciplining, and there's no room for, you know,
discussion, debate.
People like a round table type thing, you know, where everyone can kind of contribute.
Yeah.
You know, family systemic therapy is kind of like looks at this kind of idea.
Yeah.
And what you're supposed to have is kind of like a round table, but there's also kind of the heads as well.
Yeah.
Which is a difficult thing to balance, but it's kind of like when you look at a workplace, you know, you've got the boss maybe up at the head of the table. At the end of the day, he's calling the shots.
Yeah.
So the parents should equally be there as like co-heads, but then you've got the table. Yeah. And, you know, for things that are relevant to the family, everybody gets a say.
Yeah.
But depending on their age, you know, they get more or less of a say. But, you know.
So what was it again? Systemic family. Sorry.
I think I said something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like
There's a few different schools of family therapy.
Right.
Yeah. This one looks at the family as a system. As in, how are the different pieces on the chessboard operating in concert to one another?
Yeah.
Which gets very complex. I've done little bits of, like, training in family therapy, but I'm not one of these, like, you know, high-end kind of family therapists.
Yeah.
Because it's that whole idea that it's the dynamic, it's the back and forth, and it's constantly moving and constantly changeable.
Yeah.
And, it's, again, that's why parenting is exhausting, because kids come to you with some new thing, and you're kind of like, well, I've got my own views about that. I'm also feeling vulnerable about that. I don't think I'm the one to help you with that because I have the same shit going on.
Yeah.
I suppose her idea of belonging is kind of saying, well, we might be different, but you also have a say. You are amazing just for being you for you.
Yeah.
Which, you know, is pretty challenging.
Yeah.
It's really difficult.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if my children grow up to kind of enter the opposite sphere of politics from where I come from, I don't know how that's going to go.
Oh, goodness. I know.
I would hope that I would be able to say, that's cool. You're a smart person. You can make up your own mind about that stuff.
Yep.
And that's okay because we have some common ground that bonds us together.
Yeah.
That is like an usness that is going to sustain us through.
Exactly. Well, we had a very family kind of experience last weekend when Paul's mum turned 70 and we all went down to the northern beaches, the northern New South Wales, and it was just beautiful. So Paul's mum, whenever she says goodbye, says, it does a little kiss and then does bunny ears. I'm doing it visually. You can't see that. imagine your fingers doing little bunny ears. There was like a cake with little bunny ears that Paul's sister had organized with the 70, and it was just beautiful.
Mm.
And she also did these little bunny heads and got the kids, you know, she wrote, I love my Nana because, and got the kids to write out why they love their Nana. Oh. And it was just the most beautiful thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And the other thing that we did was get for her present was get all of her VHS tapes and, you know, Hi8 tapes and all that sort of stuff that she'd done videos on previously of the family years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And got them converted to DVD. So we've had all this kind of family culture,
I guess,
that's been videoed, even from 1985 when they borrowed an old one from an old friend or whatever.
Yeah.
Just looking at a backyard barbecue in 1985.
Yeah.
All the way through to, you know, houses that we'd had when we'd had a few of the kids and there were cousins together and singing karaoke or telling jokes around a table. Not, you know, like, I mean, weddings as well, but also just family.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been really amazing to kind of step back into that family culture and remember what all that was about. Because, you know, you get busy, and the other bits of the family have more kids, and everybody gets really busy, and it was quite lovely to remember what that family culture
was
so about.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
And there's this real hard to describe feeling you get in concert with family like that, you know?
Yeah.
But I suppose it's like, it's the good and the bad, it's the light and the shade.
Yeah.
Because it can so easily also be,
yeah,
you know, conflict between family members can be oh my God, that's driving me crazy.
Yeah. Organizing a barbecue. Serious. Having the barbecue was lovely.
Yeah,
but you know, because everybody has an opinion and you're trying to
But to me, like, that's the stuff of life in a way, because you know, otherwise you remove yourself from difficult situations, you end up just alone. And social isolation is a major kind of like risk factor for developing depression and anxiety issues and all of that kind of thing. Like, it's not good for us to go those people, places, situations I find too hard.
Yeah, so they're off limits.
Yeah, so I'll just stay here and not have to engage and not have to worry about it. Because, you know, on the other side of that too hardness that is so difficult at that time, you know, everything passes.
Yeah.
Well, most of the time, most things can, when both parties have a willingness to kind of come together.
Yeah.
And then you get that good stuff, that great feeling, that sense of connection and being part of a wider system and being connected to history and, you know, anyway, all of that stuff.
All of the good stuff.
All the good stuff.
That's something that when I had kids, your knowledge, I guess, and your realization that you are simply a link in a very long chain. And so your interest then in, you know, oh, what about these family members back here, back here, back here?
You know,
how did I get here to then have these humans? Really kind of sucks you into ancestry.com.
I agree. All right, how are we going for time?
We need to wrap up.
We're having a grand old chat.
Too busy chatting.
My tea is finished. Didn't even get to the biscuits.
Oh, my goodness. Oh. I just have to mention very quickly, some feedback we got from last time was around, we started a conversation about dreams and hopes for the future and things like that. And the feedback that I got was, oh, let's dive into that. So it's interesting because next time we want to talk about big magic and how dreams can evolve and change over time. So,
Listener suggestion.
Listener suggestion.
Awesome.
Don't keep them to yourself, everybody. Like, we have a website, popthekettleon.com.au. You can find Rach at littleshopofpop.com. And you can find us on Facebook at popthekettle.com. Pop the kettle on. Sorry. I'm missing the on every time, aren't I? I just realized.
I'm pretty sure if they find the podcast, they can find
exactly
the stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So find us, make suggestions. We love to hear what you've got to say.
Yeah.
And, you know, like and subscribe on on the podcast apps of your choice.
Yeah. I had a little joke for you.
Oh, go.
No, laughing. I've stuffed it up.
No. You're laughing at yourself so much you can't even get it out.
No.
No, you have to tell me now.
I just set it up badly. It was going to flow to this idea that we're hoping to record fortnightly.
Yes.
Are we hoping to have it released every Monday? Is this correct?
Sure,
hopefully,
why not?
Fingers crossed, we're going for that. Anyway,
I've done like Sunday and then a Friday. I'm all over the place.
Yeah. My joke
it's
that hopefully you will get is that we have a bi-weekly podcast. You got it?
I get that. Dollop up, everybody.
Speaking of which, I think we're going to see the dollop.
We are.
Before we record next.
We are. Yes, it's the night before.
It's the night before.
So, oh my goodness, we'll talk big magic. Yeah. We'll tell you about the dollop.
We will.
It's going to be very exciting.
Yes.
And in the meantime, what should people do, Rach?
I think we should listen to choirs.
Yeah. They're lovely. They're really lovely.
Hug our babies.
Hug our babies. Hug each other.
Be kind to ourselves.
Yeah, be kind to each other, guys, because it's rough but fun. Go play.
And remember, you're good enough.
Yes, very important to remember that.
Yes.
Last words.
I like to play.
Aww.
She loves to play.
She loves to play.
Thank you, Miss Six. All right.
Bye.
Bye.